Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During the months that we were all sheltering in place in our homes, I discovered that a former seminary classmate of mine had become a yoga teacher and was offering classes on Zoom. I began to go to her classes, and I still like to do yoga with Rachel on Monday morning. She's in Champaign-Urbana, and I'm here. Rachel also sends out weekly emails for her daily bread yoga, which often have some quotation to meditate upon. And a few weeks ago, she included this by yogi and spiritual teacher Ram Dass. When you go out into the woods and you look at trees, you see all these different trees, and some of them are bent, and some of them are straight, and some of them are evergreens, and some of them are whatever, and you look at the tree and you allow it. You see why it is the way it is. You sort of understand that it didn't get enough light and so it turned that way, and you don't get all emotional about it. You just allow it. You appreciate the tree. Then the minute you get near humans, you lose all that, and you are constantly saying, you are to this, I am to that. This judgment mind comes in. And so I practice turning people into trees, which means appreciating them just the way they are. Rachel said that she was particularly trying to practice turning her daughters into trees during their summer vacation. And I thought that might be a very good practice for me with my sons as well, to practice looking at them and just appreciating them as they are. The lessons that we read today have to do with hospitality and humility. Humility may best be understood for what it's not. Merriam-Webster defines humility as a freedom from pride or arrogance. And then it offers this thorough list of words that are opposites of humility, including bumptiousness, conceit, egotism, haughtiness, hauteur, huffiness, imperiousness, loftiness, lordliness, pomposity, presumptuousness, pretentiousness, pride, pridefulness, superciliousness, and superiority. I might add self-righteousness and self-aggrandizement to the list. It makes humility look mighty attractive, doesn't it? I certainly never want to be accused of bumptiousness. Humility is also not humiliation or feeling worthless or useless. Humility does mean demureness, down-to-earthness, humbleness, lowliness, meekness, or modesty. In our gospel story today, Jesus is at a dinner party, and he decides to give the people dining with him a lesson in humility. We might guess that he's watched them come to the table and jockey for the best place, and they're all trying to get closest to the host at the most prestigious seat. He may be witnessing some pomposity or presumptuousness. And so he tells them, when you come to a formal dinner, don't try to put yourself right in the highest place, because someone more important than you may come, and then you would be put down. But start in a lower place, and then perhaps your host will come and invite you to move to a more important place. I have to say that I am just not very comfortable with this teaching. It sounds like Jesus is just giving instruction for playing the prestige game, but still focusing on where one lands on the ladder. For myself, I imagine the kingdom of God as a place where we are beyond rank, where we are beyond such games of prestige, a place where all are beloved and all are equal in God's sight. And so I think maybe we can hear in the words of Jesus a kind of amused irony. Oh, look at those people. There they go again. This game of one-upmanship is just a game that humans play. If you're going to play the game of rank and privilege and class, at least play it with humility so that you may be lifted up rather than put down. Then Jesus moves on to the topic of hospitality. If you give a dinner party, he says, don't invite the most important people. Don't invite the people who will repay you in kind. He is still reflecting on the notions of rank and privilege and how we use them to build ourselves up or feed our own pride. But Jesus says that hospitality is not a transaction in which we give in order to receive something back. True hospitality does not expect to be repaid in kind. It is a gesture of generosity and welcome, which is focused on the person invited or received. The writer of Hebrews says that we should not hesitate to welcome strangers, because by doing so, some have unknowingly entertained angels. Many commentators believe that right here he is referring to a story in Genesis when the Lord comes to Abraham in the form of three strangers, and Abraham welcomes them and feeds them, and he hears from them a repeat of God's promises for himself and his family. But perhaps that writer of Hebrews is also remembering the way that Jesus said, when whatever you do for the least of these, my siblings, whether you feed them or clothe them, whether you visit them or invite them, you do for me as well. True hospitality includes a measure of humility. It doesn't need to include expense on our part, like hosting a party or buying dinner. Hospitality can be as simple as opening a space where a person can be truly seen and heard for who they are, and accepted and acknowledged as beloved of God. Roman Catholic priest and scholar Henry Nouwen famously wrote about hospitality. Hospitality means primarily the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. It is not to bring people over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines. The paradox of hospitality is that it wants to create emptiness, not a fearful emptiness, but a friendly emptiness where strangers can enter and discover themselves as created free. Free to sing their own songs, speak their own languages, dance their own dances. Free also to leave and follow their own vocations. Hospitality is not a subtle invitation to adore the lifestyle of the host, but the gift of a chance for the guest to find their own. Offering this kind of hospitality to others takes intention and practice. It takes courage to set aside assumptions and open ourselves to seeing a different truth. It occurred to me that many of us at All Saints have taken on such a practice of hospitality in the last year and a half by participating in our connection groups. These are groups of four people which offer a structured way for members of the group to share stories and to be deeply listened to and deeply understood. We are reforming our connection groups this fall, and so whether you've been doing this all along or it's all new to you and you might like to try it, please consider taking this chance to form a connection with other people in our church community. If you have any questions or if you think you'd like to try a group this fall, please talk to me. It really has been a great experience for a lot of people who have done it. Another place that I recently saw hospitality practiced although not in person because I wasn't there, but only read about it as it happened, was at the ELCA churchwide assembly. Now, these are the assemblies that happen every 3 years, and it's the way that our national church body makes decisions and acts as a group. For many years, probably since we started 35 years ago, the ELCA, the whitest denomination in the United States, has talked about and longed for and prayed for diversity. And many of our early attempts have looked a lot like, we would really like you to come and be with us and be just like us. We're Lutherans, we're great. In the past decade or so, and certainly since the racial upheavals of 2020, we have seen that we need to do better at hospitality. That in order to truly welcome others, we also need to be ready to change. Perhaps practice some of that humility. We need to create that free space for people to sing their own songs, speak their own languages, and dance their own dances. We have started to work at making room for diverse people to be among us and be who they truly are, bringing gifts of different cultures and perspectives and experiences, and recognizing that these too are Lutheran just as much as our Northern European heritages. In this past year, a drama has unfolded in the Sierra Pacific Synod, which has resulted in harm being done to a particular Latine congregation and a bishop being removed from their position. At the assembly, presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton made a public apology to the congregation, Iglesia Luterana Santa Maria Peregrina. Members of that congregation took the stage to talk about their experience, to hold our presiding bishop and our church council accountable for mistakes that were made, which erased their voices and caused them pain. They also came to offer forgiveness and yet a call to continued anti-racist action. Bertha Castro, a representative from Iglesia Santa Maria Peregrina, told the assembly that the congregation believed the apology was an important step toward recognizing the wrongdoings of this church body, and hopefully avoiding any further harm to vulnerable communities of our church, particularly to fellow siblings of color. Appearing at the denominational meeting wasn't an easy decision for them, she said, after the pain of the last 9 months, in which the pastor and congregation have been victims of racist actions at all levels of the denomination. However, she said, we believe in forgiveness, reconciliation, and reparations. We hope that this public apology is only the first step of many in our community journey to dismantle systemic racism in this church. This, my friends, is the hard work of hospitality and humility. It is the hard work of love, love that is not a pleasant feeling in our hearts, but action that we take so that our beloved may have free, full, and abundant life. It was difficult for everyone present, but it was important for us, the white establishment, to not just say, oh, we'll do better next time, but to take responsibility and to allow our siblings to teach us in love how to do better. So I started with a quotation from Ram Dass, that he practices seeing people as trees, not judging or expecting them to change. And I like that quote, but as a Christian, I find something missing: love. I want to change that statement to be something like this: when I see trees, I love them for their beauty and strength. I see the ways they have grown and adapted to their environment, and I love them for it. I see they are gifts from God. And then I want to see people as trees, to not only set aside judgment, but to also see beauty and strength, to see the way each one has grown in their own particular set of circumstances and experiences, to recognize in each one the holy image of God, hospitality and humility. Do not neglect to offer hospitality, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unawares. Or perhaps in our acts of hospitality and humility, we have caught a glimpse of Christ's own self among us. Thanks be to God. Amen.